welcome to another episode of the Menswear Style Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Brooker. On this episode, I'm going to talk to Sean Holman. He is the co-founder of The Other Saint. And I'm going to pull a short clip from the website here, which you can find, by the way, at www.theothersaint.com. The Other Saint, a sustainable skincare line for men that's more than simply good enough, providing the kind of quality and choice that we feel guys deserve with a sustainable approach to both products and packaging. We wanted to design a system that will both future-proof your face and fit it into your daily routine, whether you've got an afternoon to luxury or 5 minutes to prepare before the school run. Whatever issue you'd like to address, this range is packed with the sort of supercharged ingredients that will hydrate, fight aging, and tackle tiredness in order to give you godlike skin. So that interview is Sean to come, and I really enjoyed it. We get to talk about how important it is for guys to moisturize with SPF, and I get to regale my story of working in a woodyard and being the only guy on site to use sun cream, even when the sun wasn't out. I know, don't call me a hero ahead of my time. But before we get to Sean, don't forget to check out the show notes at www.menswearstyle.co.uk and on the social at menswearstyle. And if you want to tell us about your brand and your journey, and you can email us the show here at info@menswearstyle.co.uk. Okay. So let's get to it. This is a good one. I hope you enjoy it. Here is that interview with Sean Holman, the co-founder of The Other Saint. Well, it's my great pleasure to introduce Sean Holman, co-founder of The Other Saint. How are you doing today, Sean?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for taking time out to speak to us. Sean, for the uninitiated, for the people that might not have heard of you, could you just tell us what The Other Saint is and what it is you do there?
So we are a men's skincare brand. We've recently set up. Specifically sort of targeting men that may not necessarily currently use a skincare product or are new to it. And yeah, just feel that it's a growing market. And I myself kind of used a few products and started to use a few more as I've sort of got on in age, and just think, you know, what we can provide would be sort of interesting to other guys sort of from similar backgrounds. So, yeah.
Right. And what was your background then coming into this? So were you in marketing at all or design in terms of making the product?
Well, we both, Zoe's my partner. We set up the brand. Zoe's from a fashion background, and I'm from specialize in sort of high end refurbishment of sort of members bars and clubs and high end residential projects, mainly in London. And then we were both in London for 20 years, and We just moved out of London at the beginning, March, April time. So 20 years in London. We've moved down to the New Forest, so between the forest and the sea. Just kind of different way of life down here. And we thought, you know, did we want to be traveling back to London every day or, you know, once or twice a week? And we sort of thought no. So we haven't left those kind of roles or projects at the moment, but this is kind of something else that we've been working on for a while. And we moved out of London, and we're thinking, well, how can we make our life, you know, Zoe was pregnant with our second child. We moved mid pandemic, we moved into a new house. We didn't have any furniture because it was all in lockdown, and we were like, right, so how can we make our lives even more stressful? So we decided to launch a new brand. So yeah, we had an e-commerce brand before, like high-end women's fashion, but as you can imagine with pandemic and stuff, it was a bit of a slow kind of burner. And we were like, you know, we'd had this idea in our head for a while, and we were like, let's create a new brand. So that's what we did. So yeah. Okay. So we only really, it's only, we only really started this like 6-7 months ago, so, and we only launched last week, so we're, you know, a very new brand at the moment.
Wow. So, 6 or 7 months ago, was that when you had the idea, or was that when you started doing the market research? What was it from?
We'd had the idea prior to that, you know, various conversations with friends and just these kind of things sort of manifest themselves, and then it comes to a point where the time's kind of right to do it. And so, yeah, that we'd had the idea before, but we only really started to do anything about it about 6-7 months ago. So from sort of April time till now, that's the time that's taken us to set up this brand. So quite quick, really.
That's really quick, I think, anyway. But yeah. So in the throes of this, what were the conversations like? Who did you approach in terms of, like, who could put this together for you and source the ingredients, et cetera? Maybe you can talk a little bit about the
manufacturing. Yeah, so we started with, like, market research, who, like, the big kind of brands were. And so there are probably, you know, there are quite a few brands out there, but there are, like, a few that just keep coming up all the time. And we were looking at them and we thought I think one of the driving factors was that they're not particularly sustainable. Like, everyone throws this word about of sustainability, but, you know, they continue to use plastic products. You know, the packaging is excessive. And we just thought, well, we think we can do better than that, really. So we started to sort of sample, we started to speak to friends, and we got a group together of about 30 guys, and we started sampling products and getting people's feedback about what they use and what they don't use. And then, yeah, we then had a company that we've been partnering with. They've helped us to formulate our products. And yeah, we've formulated sort of a variety of different products that we think are, you know, that have got good feedback from the sampling. Yeah. Then the whole process of designing the packaging, designing the products, designing, you know, the branding. And then, yeah, so that's that's what we've been doing over the last 6 months, really.
Well, what's great about having something palpable when you come out of, say, a pandemic or you come out of lockdown is that you have something to show for it. Maybe you've learned a new language, or you've written a book, or you've started a brand like you have. I just wonder how many people have come out of this pandemic with, like, a face tattoo or a 40-day habit and gone, do you know what? I really didn't use that time wisely.
So it seemed like a good idea at the time. Yeah.
So
no, I think I suppose it was just, you know, we've left London and we were kind of, and the pandemic happened. And it, I suppose, would we have set up this brand if it wasn't for the pandemic? Possibly, but possibly not. So kind of think for a lot of people, this has, whilst it's been you know, a difficult situation for people, it's also had its benefits, and for us this is one of them. So yeah, but we've had to juggle out between, you know, moving and having a second baby and you know, like, having two young people in the house and trying to work around them and manage, you know, and look after them. So it's been eventful, should we say. So yeah,
well, congrats, mate. I know it's a bit early in the interview to congratulate you, but I was on the website and I checked out the brand and I did think to myself, yeah, it's pretty good that people can actually produce something. Because I think, because I'm in the world of what's quote unquote content creators. I think it's my gig to review what other people do without actually producing anything myself. Do you know what I mean? So when I see other people actually doing things and having something to show for it, I kind of have to tip my hat, because I wish I was doing more of that than what I'm doing over here.
Well, I mean, and that's it. You just got to make a start, and you don't and can't know everything at the beginning. And it's just an evolution, and you just kind of find the right people along the way. And you can't do it on your own. You have to have the right team around you. And we've managed to find that quite successfully. And so we're new and we're just trying to sort of get in front of as many people as possible. So yeah,
great. Sean, I want to talk a little bit about SPF, and for many people that haven't heard of SPF, perhaps I'll ask you to tell me what it is and why it's so important for you guys.
Money is all around us, and we think about it more than almost every other aspect of our lives. But how can we make more of it, and what's our drive for building wealth beyond just the numbers in our bank account? Join us on the Make More podcast as our host Matt Heslin brings to you a dynamic lineup of experts in the world of investing, business, health, and beyond. Together, they unpack the secrets to not just surviving, but thriving in today's economy. It's about more than just wealth. It's about crafting life experiences, seizing opportunities, and building a legacy. Subscribe now to the Make More with Matt Heslin podcast and join us every week for new expert insights and inspiration.
So SPF is sun protection factor. You're obviously quite familiar of wearing that when you go on holiday. But what we found that there are, so what we found is like not many people really appreciate that an SPF is the best thing that you can apply on a daily basis that will stop sort of early aging and sun damage and also more serious factors such as skin cancer. So I suppose part of our story and part of, you know, my mum got skin cancer on her face and luckily she was fine. But, you know, these things kind of stick in your head. And I was on a holiday, on a ski holiday. And if you've ever been skiing, you know, the reflection and you put on SPF. And I happened to be with a friend who was a doctor. And he said to me, you know, out of all of these products out there, the best thing you can actually do is put an SPF on your face. And I don't think men especially, and probably men and women probably appreciate that you should be putting that on every day, not just when you're on holiday. So, you know, how could we sort of get people to do that? And the best thing to do is combine it with a moisturizer. So, you know, what we found from our research was that, you know, men generally will be using a moisturizer, but perhaps not much else. So if you can put an SPF into a moisturizer, you know, you're two birds with one stone kind of thing. So that was, yeah, one of the first products we kind of developed. And it's about habits, I think. And just if we can sort of make people aware that if you put that on in the morning, that's probably the best thing that you can do to help your skin, basically. So, yeah.
Because the sun, don't want to put words in your mouth, you can correct me, but the sun doesn't even really have to be out, does it, from what actually, I understand? Yeah. So you step outside, it's daylight, you think it's a cloudy day. I don't need to put anything on because I'm not going to get burnt or I'm not going to get affected by the sun. But it is, what is it, UV?
It's
attacking your skin, right? It's constantly on you.
Yeah, if the sun is in the sky, then it's the UV that basically is going to cause the damage. And if you can protect yourself with a SPF, ours is an SPF 30. So yeah, it's going to offer you a good level of protection sort of throughout the day. And whilst you're wearing it, you know, you've got combined with a moisturizer. So yeah.
Right. Okay. Now this reminds me of something that I did when I was making cricket bats about 10 years ago. So I was on a yard, you know, basically on a production line. And I saw this program about SPF and using the right protection for your face. And so I got all up in my head that I had to, you know, really, really lay this stuff on thick. And so every lunchtime I would, you know, and we'd be in a cabin and you just imagine blue collar guys all talking about what they were doing the night before, getting pissed and whatnot. And I'd be the only dude in the cabin that would get up and put SPF on his face, like sun protector. And everyone's like, what the hell are you doing? There's not even any sun. It's pissing down with rain out there. Yeah. You know, we'll also be in a yard and you can imagine like these guys probably wouldn't even put sun cream on when they were going on holiday, you know, proper men's men.
Wow. Exactly. Yeah.
So I had it in my head like 10 years ago that this was a thing. Were you aware of this sort of thing like even a decade ago? How common knowledge was it then?
I think it's like most things. I think you probably have heard it somewhere along the road, the line, and you may have seen like the sun cream adverts, but you just kind of put it to the back of your mind. And it's not really until somebody kind of points it out to you that you realize, well, actually, yeah, that's the good, I should actually be doing that. And it's, you know, it's cheap and it's effective. So yeah, right. Why wouldn't you, kind of thing? And if you can incorporate that into your daily routine, then, you know, happy days. So
Sean, one question I often like to ask people on the show, especially people that have made things, is can you remember what it was like getting the product in your hand for the first time? When it arrived, and what was your reaction when you actually managed to open it up and see what it is?
Well, I think, yeah, it's you're kind of working on these things for such a long time, and it's all like on computer screens or bits of paper or models or whatever you've made, and then so you finally get the final finished product, and you almost can't like believe it. I suppose it's because all of these things that all these decisions you've made along the way have sort of led up to this point, and you've got this kind of physical thing in your hand. And I suppose what for us, one of the main things is that our lids and jars are compostable. So that the when you feel the product, it's like it feels like ceramic, but it's actually made from FSC. Regulated timber and like plant resin, so it's completely sustainable, completely compostable, but it feels like ceramic. So it's quite touchy feely. It's very kind of different to like the other sort of products that are in plastic or are in glass. So yeah,
right, fascinating. But it must have been a great feeling having it in your hand for the first time and having that kind of sense of achievement.
It's good. Yeah, and like I say, we're still an early brand. We've started to get it out to sort of our new customers, and the feedback so far has been good. So yeah.
And what are the next steps now that you're trying to put it in front of more people? Are you looking for stockists? Are you looking for bricks and mortar? What's in the pipeline now?
No, I think we are primarily an e-commerce brand, and some of our competitors getting stocked in, you know, the likes of Selfridges and Harrods and those kind of places. But, you know, if I'm blunt, it's good for like social proof and for people to see that you're associated with that brand. But the problem is, especially at the moment, is, you know, they want to take 50% of your margin. They want to pay you after 3 months, and you know, or as the case may be, you may not get paid at all, especially with the likes of, you know, Debenhams, for example, at the moment. So it just doesn't seem like a particularly good model, really. I think we're just going to primarily focus on e-commerce. But if those opportunities came up, then we certainly would look at them. But it's not something that we're actively kind of going after. Yeah.
What I did find interesting when I was on the website, which, by the way, is people need to check out, definitely, it's theothersaint.com is where people can go and do their shopping, is how accessible all of the products are in relation to price. I thought I'll be paid after doing the read and kind of figuring out, it's vegan, sustainable, it's got all the right stuff in it. I figured that I'd be paying a lot more than what I would be buying. Can you talk about how you approached the process for pricing it all and the structures of the pricing? What was going on there?
Like we did a analysis of kind of what's out there at the moment, and you know, you've got your stuff that's available in the supermarkets, which are, you know, like £2-3 upwards, and but skincare products can go right up to, you know, £80, £90, £100, you know, depending on what it is. And we just thought that the accessible point is kind of like our products are ranged from about sort of £16 to about £22, but that actually includes like UK delivery, and we just thought that was accessible for people, not unreasonable. Okay, it's not as cheap as what you can buy in the supermarket, but equally, you know, it's vegan, it's compostable, it's, you know, it's, you can't get this, sounds like an advert, but you can't get this in the store, in the shops.
It's not available in the shop.
So yeah, we just thought that was like the right kind of price point to be aiming it for. And, you know, it has quite a lot of, you know, sort of unique factors, and, you know, it's a great product. It's been tested with like lots of different people. It's easy to apply, easy to
and not move. Tested with animals, and it's
made in the UK. It kind of, I think at the moment, it kind of, you know, kind of goes without saying that it should be cruelty free, but yeah, that is obviously a valid point. It's vegan. You know, the jars and lids are compostable. We've literally designed out all unnecessary packaging. You know, our jars come in a box. They don't, and that box is what gets sent to you. That's the mailer box. There isn't a separate box that each individual product goes in, because you know yourself, you know, that box goes in another box that gets sent to you. You open the box, open the other box, and then it just goes in the bin. It just seems like a massive waste of time,
right, yeah.
And resources, and you know, it's just not great for the environment. So yeah, so that's it really. So
well, Sean, I was going to ask you also about what your ideas are on social media, and whether you've approached kind of the social media world, as it were, and used any channels in particular to leverage traffic to your site. Are there any platforms that you enjoy using?
So we're working with Nick Carvell, who is ex-GQ. So he's helping us write our content, which is great because, you know, he's got his finger on the pulse about, like, those kind of issues and what men want to read about, really. So so from a social media point of view, like, yeah, you there's no way you can sort of be, unless you're a massive celebrity, but then equally you're still going to probably utilize social media. I just don't think, you know, especially with the high street going the way that it is, you have to be on Google, you have to be on, you know, Instagram and Facebook, really. That, you know, and probably later we're on those platforms now, but later we'll be on, you know, YouTube and stuff as we get more established, basically. But yeah, so the way we're kind of approaching influencers is not necessarily like out and out kind of influencers. We've got like a blog which is called The Habit of Successful Men, and so we interview sort of men that we think that people find interesting and inspiring, and you know, they themselves have kind of a following, and then so we interview them, and then we, you know, send them some products, and then we talk about how they are successful, because obviously that's a subjective term. And then in turn, they kind of, you know, they put those posts out, and then we kind of, so it's kind of like a soft influence rather than kind of going to, I don't know, a celebrity and paying them, you know, it's more authentic, and, you know, people, I don't think, you know, like to see that you've necessarily paid somebody to work with them and for them to promote your product. So we're just trying to be a bit more sort of authentic about it. So,
yeah. And it's kind of in line with what you guys have been doing anyway, which is quite organic and, you know, and humble. I think it's a great brand, great product. Congrats again, Sean. And talking of Instagram, We Are The Other Saint is where people can go and check out some other stories, and do check out the blogs where you can find out other interviews with other people, with, you know, trailblazers and CEOs, etc. And it's a good place to spend some time, fall down a rabbit hole. Well, Sean, thanks for coming on. It was a pleasure speaking to you, and take care of yourself. Have a great Christmas. I suppose we'll be coming out close to Christmas.
Well, almost there, yeah. And there's an advent countdown calendar from with useful tips and facts for people if they wanted to follow us on Instagram. So
excellent, great, another reason to check you guys out. Well, I'll leave you to it, Sean.
Great
talking to you.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Thanks, mate.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Well, how about that? And as you can appreciate, I could have talked to Sean for hours, mainly about my days in the woodyard chopping frozen bark off willow trees, cutting off digits with a bandsaw. It all went on. But another time, another place. In the meantime, make sure you're supporting the good guys and head over to theothersaint.com and treat yourself or your loved one to some awesome high quality skincare. And that's it from my end. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you're hearing, do leave us a review. There's a competition running on the website at the minute where if you leave a review, you could be in for winning 1,500 quid's worth of goods. It's a really good competition, so make sure you're checking out the website, www.menswearstyle.co.uk. And until next time. Thank you.